Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am Cheryl Glick, and with me today is Lucinda Drayton, professionally known as Bliss, and she is a world-renowned spiritual vocalist from one of my favorite European countries, England. Hi, Lucinda.
Hi, Cheryl.
So wonderful to be speaking with you again.
Yes, it's been a while.
Lucinda, yes. As our listeners may know, Healing From Within addresses subjects that help us lift above some of the dramas and the worrisome issues of daily life. For mm-hmm. me and many others, music is a tool that can lead to understanding our emotions, and it can also create states of relaxation or extreme states of energy and action, so we can relate better to the beauty of the physical world and also to the challenges of our physical lives and emotions and relationships with people. This episode today will focus on music, spirituality, and healing. And with your help, Lucinda, we mm-hmm. will view music in its many ways to be utilized for enjoyment and also for creating states of bliss, which is your professional name, love, and for improving our health. Maybe music can lead us to a spiritual connection to the sounds of our own soul and the sounds of the universe. And I know, Lucinda, your extensive training in many areas and experiences will offer our listeners a greater knowledge of the power of music. Let's begin, Lucinda, by telling our audience something about how you first discovered your interest in music.
I came in with that passion and love for it. My feeling is I brought it with me. I don't remember discovering it. It just was always there. I always sang, and I wrote songs as soon as I could write. So I think it's something I just brought with me, Cheryl. It's not something.
So you were born with an instinct and a
yes.
destiny in your soul from spirit.
Absolutely.
To use this gift to mm. work for the betterment of humanity.
Yes. I didn't think it would be the way it is. I thought maybe I might, in my sort of little head when I was younger, I thought I would become, excuse me, a famous pop star and I'd build a hospital or something like that.
Well, that so would be would... great, but whatever you're doing, you are connecting to higher energy and
yeah,
divine
definitely.
And helping
yeah,
other it's... people do the same by listening to you. Can you tell us
yeah.
something, Lucinda? Can you tell us something, Lucinda, about your teachers or mentors along the way?
I've had many. I think the first group really that taught me so much was a wonderful Indian-based group called the Brahma Kumaris. And one of my first very powerful spiritual teachers was a lady called Dadi Janki, who's a very tiny Indian woman who with very sparkly eyes, who's incredibly powerful. And they taught me a lot about the self being a non-physical entity, a spiritual being or a soul, which is eternal. So they put me in touch with my eternal identity as opposed to I, Lucinda, the white woman, the singer, you know, all those identities that change and move fast. So they were very deep teachings, and I was with them for a very long time.
And where was
I still
that?
Still practice that. Well, I lived in England, in Oxford, and there was a retreat center very close to my home. And I go to India every year, but I also traveled throughout the world to the various different centers. There's centers all over the world, so I was very lucky to go and sing at the pyramids in Mexico. I sang at the press office in Washington and New York and all over the place. I traveled all over the world with them. It's a worldwide.
How network. Exciting. And I feel my journey has been a little similar in that mm. I have been called and guided and led to many places to meet many people
yes.
who have helped me to access the deeper part of my soul or inner being, so that I could free myself, and we've had to free ourselves of some of the physical fears and worries that are part of a physical life, to constantly be in tune and in touch to this inner essence, which is so important for our soul growth. And that's what life's about, I think. Soul growth.
Yep. It is. It's about learning and growth, and yes, the more I can detach from the part of me that dies or the part of me that suffers or changes, and the more I can attach to the eternal, non-physical side of myself, then I think the freer and the more powerful I become, and the less afraid.
Yes, absolutely. Lucinda, can you tell us about a recent performance and how this might be different from your beginning concerts or performances?
Well, last night I was doing a gig with four of my friends from a recent project called The Gathering and an album called Startled by the Familiar. And this was, I felt this was, it was a very strong message for me to bring these people together and call it The Gathering. They're very incredible musicians. But the difference from other projects was that we would sit together for 4 days and we would be quiet and we would improvise from silence. And the music that was created was just full of, oh, I don't know, so many different things, silence, joy, spirituality, and it was just an incredible experience. And so that was what I was doing last night. I was performing for about 300 people in a festival in Devon here in England, and it was just incredible. It was incredible.
And I was just going to ask you about that group, The Gathering, and how you got together, how you first met all these musicians. You just expressed how you were so quiet, almost in a kind of meditation, so you could channel the words, perhaps, of spirit and the divine to heighten the message that was coming from all of you. Would you say that was so?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
All right.
And it was about that connection between us as well, you know, being able to connect in a different way. Because I think musicians do that. When you bring great musicians together who really listen, there is that connection that happens when you play together. But when you bring together musicians who also have a spiritual practice, that happens on a deeper level.
Yeah, and I think musicians, very fine musicians, help people with their music find some comfort in their own skin, and they help them not need to be perfect, and sort of the music allows others to follow their own journey and to deal with pain and sorrow and grow into a state of greater compassion and also, of course, love. And I know your work is all about that. Because
it is,
Lucinda, when I first met you, and that was at an awakening convention in Arizona about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You walked into the auditorium, and I'm just letting our guests know what I felt and saw and experienced. Mm-hmm. And you walked in, and you began to sing this song, Love, Peace, and Wisdom, from your album, Through Your Eyes, Through These Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to play that song so that our listeners can hear the words and the message, the vibration and the beauty of your being and your words.
us to still love the dawn. If peace were a mountain, we'd gather around her to bathe in her silence, her power.
Could sing, oh, I wish.
Lucinda. So, so beautiful. When I heard that song, the vibration, the words, your voice, and the message about those who walk the path to bring love and healing to others, and sometimes some of the different difficult challenges they face, it was so evident in your singing and your words and the truth of your words and your efforts, the truth of your efforts. It was overwhelming to me. And I actually cried first because of the beauty of it, and then I think I cried because as I was growing and evolving and finding my own work and path, I realized not everybody could walk it with me because it wasn't their journey or their choice. And that was a difficult thing for me. Have you felt that? Have you sometimes felt that way?
Yes, I have. Yes, and I still feel, sometimes I feel very sad when I look at the world and the way we have let it become so toxic and so chaotic and so unloving. I do despair of us at times, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sad for me.
Well, that is our sensitivity. You said you were born with the knowledge that you were to sing. And I was born with the knowledge that I was to bring joy to people and love. I didn't know quite how to do that as a child. But that was our gift and our sensitivity also. But I've been reminded by some people on my shows most recently, a woman that I had, Betsy Otter Thompson, who wrote Parenting with Love. And she said, and she reminded me, and we have to all remember this, we do come into a family, we do come into an experience with a journey that's already been planned so that our soul can get the best and the most out of this experience. So it's okay, even though it looks like it's not working at the moment. In the bigger picture and scope of things, everything seems to be just as it's supposed to be. And, and I think if we remember that, we won't feel that sadness as much. Lucinda.
Absolutely. And also I understand that, you know, that's part of the process too, and that, you know, sometimes things need to get worse before they get better, and there's a rebirth process going on. So I do understand that.
But it still touches the heart.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. And so I write about that sometimes.
Good.
And you have to be true to what you feel, don't you?
I do. I think so. You know, Lucinda, at the time I purchased two CDs, one was entitled, when I first met you, entitled 100,000 Angels. And I believe that that sold over 60,000 copies. And also through your, I bought it also through your eyes. But I wasn't, I wasn't aware of how extensive your body of work was. Can I ask you, when I know you started perhaps as Lucinda and then later took the name Bliss, can you tell us about that change perhaps in your life and in your music?
Well, Bliss actually came, I mean, I started out as Lucinda Drayton in the pop industry, and I had a number one hit when I was about 25. I wrote a number one hit, so I had some success as a writer, and then I had my own record deal. And then I started my spiritual path. I began meditating a lot, and I was looking for something else. And then with my partner at the time, I started the band Bliss, and we were together for maybe 15 years doing that. That's when we wrote 100,000 Angels and Through These Eyes. And then about 6 years ago, that relationship came to an end, and a new change came in my life, which was really a very tough time for me, actually. And I've gone back to my name again now because I didn't feel it was right to go on using the word, the name Bliss, because that was part of his second name, and it was something we'd done together, and I felt it would be more honest.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Yes, I wasn't aware of that, and you just made that very clear.
Yeah.
Lucinda, another one of your most beloved and well-known songs is Be Who You Were Born to Be. I don't know that song, but when did you write that?
That must have been, oh, goodness, that was from the album Bliss, so that must be maybe eight to ten years ago. I mean, it's quite a long time ago. I've done a lot of stuff since then, but, yeah, it's a beautiful song, and it's one people really love. It's a bit of a very uplifting anthem, so I still do that a lot on gigs.
Well, I'm going to have to listen to that, but there is another American pop singer right now, and her name is Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And I listened to a concert that she had not too long ago, and I think maybe she was trying to get a similar message across to her audience, but in a very different manner than you did. But the words were also to find your own truth and your own destiny and your own love of life, because that's what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us something about some similarities between American musicians and British artists, and maybe some differences, and your training, how that may have been a little different from some of the American singers? I'm sure you've met both.
I have met various different and worked with musicians from both places. The difference will probably be cultural. You know, when you're an artist, you bring, for me, your art is powerful when you come from an authentic place. So I would just say the differences are probably due to the difference in the cultures that we live in. We write in maybe a different way. But obviously there's power in both, and Lady Gaga's a very powerful voice in the mainstream world at the moment. For me, a lot of the songs that I was writing at the time you're talking about, you know, I was doing a lot of deep meditation practice. And for example, the song Love, Peace and Wisdom was literally given to me. I just wrote it down. I remember that very clearly. I had the tune is a very ancient Irish tune, and I just sat quietly and
the words came to you through divine channeling.
It was given to me. Yeah. And then when I read them back, I thought, oh my goodness, this is quite amazing, because it's not necessarily what I would say.
Well, that's why I cried.
Yeah, because it felt a bit higher than me, because it's very high wisdom.
Well, sometimes when I write and I look back, and sometimes I write very quickly, and when I look back what I've written, I'm truly amazed, because I said, did I exactly think or say that? And it's so beautiful. And I know you feel as privileged as I do.
Absolutely.
To do this work and to be working with higher energy and healing forces to bring more balance and love to everyone we meet. It's not about how many. It's about just being ourselves, and it's happening wherever we are at every moment.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. So I also know that you recorded a CD, Ven Hacia La Luz,
Going to
the Light.
Yeah.
And that was after a tour in Mexico. I don't know how long ago that was, but the word, the name of the tour appealed to me. So I wanted to ask you something about that and your feelings and connection to the people that you met in Mexico at that time.
That was an amazing experience, because I was in Merida, the Mayan civilization, and I was very lucky to be taken up one of the pyramids very early in the morning when there was hardly anybody there, and the power of that place was just incredible. And I was very lucky to meet somebody who taught about the Mayan spirituality, and they pointed out a lot of the similarities between their belief system and the belief system of the Brahma Kumaris and of my particular heritage of teaching, which is Hindu-based. And so for me, to find the link between the spiritual paths was pretty amazing.
How did you get booked to go on that tour to Mexico to have that experience? I'm sure
again, it was coincidence. It was through the Brahma Kumaris, and they have centers in Mexico. So I was visiting the centers, and they were having a gathering of powerful leaders at one of the big hotels in Merida, and they asked me to go over and do a concert. And so we did a concert with the pyramids as the backdrop against a beautiful swimming pool. I'll never forget it. And it might have only been for 20 people, but they were very powerful people. And the vibration that night was just incredible. And I remember walking through the palm trees singing, you know. And we used to do things like that all the time. It was all about intention and about, setting up the vibration. And I think a lot of people were really powerfully touched at that time.
And I'm sure you were brought there to meet the people. You did it. Really doesn't matter if there were 20 or 2,000.
Yeah,
and
no, absolutely.
To benefit. You see, Spirit really wants to help us grow and evolve and expand.
Mm-hmm.
And every experience we're having, small or large, is for our benefit. And that's why I asked you about that, and I'm glad you explained how you got there. Lucinda, in Arizona, I also met your music support and friend, Andy Blissett. Can you tell us how you began to work together and how each has supported the other professionally and perhaps in your spiritual growth?
Well, Andy and I met 22, 23, and we went on an incredible journey together. I mean, we're not together as partners anymore. We're still very close friends, and we stay in touch, but we went on an incredible journey together. We discovered our spiritual path together. We wrote a number one hit together.
He did have a beautiful voice also.
Yes.
And his
music
was very touching.
And a wonderful piano player as well, and producer.
Yes.
And an incredible perfectionist. So he is responsible for the production of all those albums and the care and the detail that went into them. So, yeah, amazing, amazing man.
All right. You know, I am taken by the name Bliss that you used at one point, because in this spiritual work, we are trying to heal and find a state of well-being and universal love or an understanding of love. And could you describe what a state, a musical state of bliss, how it would make you feel physically, and I know you have felt it, as have I, and how we can guide people who are listening today to feel some of the physical wellness that comes from allowing ourselves to be drawn into the beauty of music, words, poetry, conversation.
The more I think about this, to come into the world of words to try and describe an experience of bliss is very challenging, because once, from my experience and from my reading and studying, once we enter that altered state or that spiritual state, we're actually in an area of our brain which doesn't deal with language. So when we come back from that state, we literally don't have the words to describe it. But for me, what music does is it tries to capture or explain that state. And I think in my songs, I've been more successful at doing that than trying to explain it to people.
Oh, it's very,
just words.
It's very hard to explain.
Do you know what I mean?
Like Reiki, what I do, the energy healing I do, I have explained to people that they need to really experience it and feel it within them. But bliss can, we can say that there are certain physical signs, like you might be relaxed enough to easily smile, and you may not have trouble smiling. You might laugh freely, or for no reason. You might just sit there with your eyes closed, not really sleepy, and you can tingle and vibrate and have an expansion in the chest, and a feeling of lightness or floating, and a peaceful.
And that's what I feel open. I feel open and expanded, and
it's beautiful. I mean,
it's beautiful. It's like an out breath, and there's no need. There's nothing I need to do or be.
No, we don't have to understand the illusion of time.
No.
We can just be joyful in the now, and this is what music at its finest. And your music can do, and hopefully my Reiki sessions, when I connect with people that way in that peaceful state of soul energy, can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go on for a minute. I think I asked you about some of your spiritual teachers. You already really have said that. Were there any special music teachers, voice teachers, or special people that stand out?
There was one woman called Mary Beth who I went and had a few voice sessions with, and she asked me an important question, actually. She said, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And I hadn't really thought about that before, and I spontaneously answered, you know, I want to touch the hearts of others. So she was important. Mary Beth Bunch, her name is.
You know, my
teacher. American. She was important because she made me think about that.
This is so funny, Lucinda, because my mentor and teacher as a medium is Robert Brown from England. And he asked me the same question. Why do you want to do this work? And I said, I want to be of service and help people. And if I would have answered anything else, it would not have been possible to go on with him, because I find the English teachers and the English people who do the type of work I do are very dedicated, disciplined, and very well trained. And I was guided to be with him, not an American teacher. So it's so funny that we have that similarity. I also know you have a CD entitled The Mirror. Can you tell us something about this and an understanding of the mirror concept of relating to people and growing from your interactions with other people?
It's about, I mean, really, it's about this idea that the world is a mirror of me. So if people show up in my world who challenge me, who put me down, I wonder if I look within myself, are there areas in my life where I'm putting myself down? So so for me, it was like the mirror, the album The Mirror is all about, is really about relationships. And when I look in the mirror of my relationships, how am I doing? And it's about having the courage to be really honest about that.
Yes, it's like the law of attraction. We draw to ourselves what we are giving out. And and I have had guests on my show discussing this mirror concept, and you did it with music. I also noticed, Lucinda, on your website, I noticed a picture with you and horses. Do you ride?
I do. I have a very big connection with horses. I love them, and they're very intuitive. I've been with them since I was pretty young, and I don't have so much to do with them now, but, yeah, I do have a very big connection with them. I mean, for me, they symbolize freedom.
Me too. That's why I love, I haven't ever really ridden, but I love the carousel.
I love going on. I always go on them. When I pass one, I have to go on with a few friends.
And I think sometimes, only today, I actually did a reading for someone, and I saw the carousel horse.
Yeah.
Leave the carousel and be free with the wind. I guess I was picking up what you were just going to say. Yeah. Isn't that adorable?
I know, I love it.
All right.
And kind of, if you need cheering up, go on the carousel horse. You can't help but smile. You have to smile.
Yes, you do. If you had a chance, this is a question somebody has asked me to ask some of my guests, and I never have had the time. So you can answer it or not if you want. If you had a chance to have dinner with someone in spirit, is there someone you would really like to connect with? It could be someone from the past, a relative or a historical person, or a musician. Is there someone you would like to have dinner and just have a little...
I would. I'd like to have dinner with somebody who I feel is with me a lot in my life, who is in spirit, and his name's Brahma Baba, and I feel he is my teacher still, even though he's not here. And he's a spiritual teacher from India, and he started the movement of the Brahma Kumaris. So he worked with such silence and such beauty, and I feel him with me a lot, so I'd like to sit down with him. Even though I feel I do sit down with him a lot, I'd like to have the chance to sit down and eat something with him and just be with him,
That's very beautiful. Any new projects or travel plans right now?
New projects. We're building a studio up in London, so that's the next sort of physical project. And, you know, at the moment, Cheryl, I'm surrounded by quite a lot of people who are sick and some people who are facing leaving their bodies and that kind of thing. And I can feel a movement of energy to come back to something very deep and sacred about our connection with the other side and to not be afraid. And so that's around for me at the moment. So usually when that's bubbling around, the songs will start.
Lucinda, do you do any spiritual hands-on healing? Have you been trained in that?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't. I'm a great believer in body work. I do rituals and that kind of thing when I run workshops and things like that. I'm a great believer in honoring the body, and I feel that the energetic work I do is through the music, really.
And I would say for these people that you love, if you just meditate and think of me, I will send an ancient healing symbol, and you will be able to send them the healing that they need. Mm. And that would be a very beautiful thing. You only have to be quiet and ask Spirit to help them in the way that's best suited for them at this time in their journey. And
yeah.
I'd be happy to help you with that.
Okay.
So, Lucinda, it has been my great joy to meet with you again, even though we're not in person. We still, I believe, are in the same vibration and similar thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have hopes for everyone listening today to reach a higher consciousness of compassion and trust in their own beautiful spirit, because that's where it all starts. It has to start with ourselves and working within and for ourselves, so we can reach out to others and have something very special and powerful to share with them. So I thank you for joining me today on Healing From Within.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And for more information on Lucinda Bliss Drayton, go to www.blissfulrecords.com. In summarizing today's show, we have explored the way to interact with the divine forces of energy through our own personal sounds and songs of life and our connection to music. And somehow music helps us have a feeling of well-being, no matter what pain the heart may feel at times. We can go on and utilize the beauty of nature, music, and our own higher selves to tap into other people's true quality of being and our own. Music is absolutely one of the keys to experiencing peace, well-being, and a higher form of love beyond this physical plane. And my own dad, and it makes me very happy to say this right now, used to say, you need to walk through the day with a song in your heart and on your lips, and then you will never truly be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
That's beautiful, yes.
He was a doctor, a podiatrist, and he was always humming or singing a song. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I thank you all for joining us today. And for more information on energy healing and the power of divine connection through psychic development, go to www.cherylglick.com, where you may also listen to prominent leaders in the field of energy healing, spirituality, and metaphysics. Join us again for another show looking at our expanding world of energy and personal connections.